In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to them and confront them. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. The familiar lyric in the Star Spangled Banner. Quote, "And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air," referred to a conventional munition, though still used in warfare, has become a smokescreen for a more deadly, accurate covert weaponry. The technology isn't glamorous or mysterious. There is, in fact, historic documentation chronicling the harmful biological effects from directed microwave, radar, and wireless radiation. In a book titled The Microwave Debate, that came out in 1984, there are more than 8,000 pages of published documents expounding on symptoms from radar and microwave radiation exposure that were released under a FOIA request after the microwave bombardment of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. Some of that research dates back to 1893. Put this in context with the recent news of diplomats at the U.S. and Canadian-Cuban Embassy in Havana and the U.S. Embassy in Guangzhou, China. According to these reports, 25 diplomats, CIA officials, and family members were covertly attacked by a directed energy. Their symptoms include brain trauma, headaches, nausea, hearing loss, and cognitive issues after they reported hearing strange sounds. As many listeners know, these types of covert attacks using radar and microwave radiation have also been happening in our own backyard, targeting regular people and slowly deteriorating their mind, body, and spirit. Why we're covertly attacking each other with deadly toys is a sad comment on the current human condition. It's a topic that alternative and mainstream media have avoided like the plague. And if the reports of these attacks get too prominent, the psychologists come out and typically call the victims delusional. But that tactic doesn't work any longer. More people are paying attention. Attorneys are now investigating individual cases. This is important because microwave radiation in your environment is about to increase like never before. Our guest, Helena Chorba, has been the victim of covert microwave attacks for decades. She's a retired civil engineer living in the borough of Aetna, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Because of the attacks, Helena has deeply researched the topic and has compiled mountains of evidence on the use of microwave and radar technology as weapons. Her research helps other victims, and it builds stronger cases for those seeking justice. However, Helena continues to suffer painful biological effects from pulsed high-powered microwave through-wall radio frequencies. At this time, she needs support and protection, but ultimately relief from the attacks. We talk about her case and her in-depth research. Helena, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me.
Helena, please give listeners a summary of when and how you suspect directed microwave attacks began to target you.
I went on a trip to Australia and New Zealand, and when I came back, I thought I picked up parasites or worms because I felt them. And I went to my doctor, and I told him, I said, you know, I was on Bondi Beach in New Zealand, in the outback, and I think I picked something up. And he said, you don't have worms, Helena. I said, you know what, I feel them. And so he did the stool tests, and I didn't have worms. And so that mystery went unsolved. When I was sitting, either watching TV or reading or laying in bed, I could feel it. And I didn't know what it was. Later on, I started feeling stinging in the back of my neck and on my scalp. By this time, I was doing research in what this could be, because it certainly wasn't me getting sick. It was something externally affecting me. And I realized someone must be using some sort of illegal frequencies. So I called Aetna Borough Police Department and asked them to get me a spectrum analyzer. I need a spectrum analyzer, and I don't have $50,000 to buy one. And I just didn't think that I was going to be able to even make out from the soup of radio frequency that we're in what is actually the hurtful, harmful frequencies, what was causing this. And they promised me a spectrum analyzer. They said, we're a small police force. We don't have one. I'll get back to you on Tuesday. And I said, you know, this is really hurting. What's wrong with Monday? And he said, well, it's President's Day. That was February 2012. They never got back to me. I called like a couple of days, a week later, and I talked to Patrolman Dolan, and he took down the report, but he didn't say anything that we're not going to supply a spectrum analyzer for you. So everything just got dropped, and I kept doing research, and then I realized 3 or 4 years ago that this is microwave radio frequency. It's radio frequency in the microwave range. And I discovered the through-wall surveillance devices, that is TTWS, through-wall surveillance sensors. And there's all kinds of them with various capabilities. Some of them you have to hold up against an external wall, directly up to the wall to see inside to pick up breath rate, heart rate, and your speech, determine how many people are inside the building. But some of them are quite capable, and the one I know of that is not classified, the most capable of all devices, is called STORMS. That's Sense Through Obstructions Remote Monitoring System, manufactured by VAWD Engineering. Their devices have up to 1,000-foot standoff range, 300 meters, which is almost 1,000 feet. And you can see into people's homes with this.
With that device, could you also affect people? Could you harm people with that device?
I don't think the FCC would have approved that, but these devices are computers. They can be reprogrammed, increase the power. These are low-frequency devices, and when you increase the power, they become low-frequency, high-power microwave devices, and that's when they hurt, burn, and vibrate, jar your teeth, knock your limbs out from underneath you. It's horrific.
Was there any specific incident that you can recall that may have set off, may have angered somebody to attack you with microwave weapons?
It started a long time ago, the harassment, and it has just escalated. This is a peaceful little neighborhood. The one local police officer lived across the street from me. His name is Paul Lord, and Officer Lord tried to put the make on me, and I rejected his advances. And he started giving me, well, he asked his buddies to start giving me tickets for nonsense things. And I kept winning my cases in court. And one time I racked up like 30, you know, you're blocking the driveway tickets. And so I hired an attorney, and he won the case for me. Paul Lord showed up in court with his wife, Betty. He blocks his own driveway, and I was blocking my driveway. He knew it was my truck. So winning those cases just irritated him even more. And then the chief of police, Bob Ober, came over once because of all these tickets, one after another. He pulled me down on his knee because I was so distressed. I was so upset constantly fighting these tickets. They were just stupid. And he pulled me down on his knees, started rubbing my back, and I'm going, oh, boy, not this. And he came unannounced. I'll help you with those pictures of, you know, you live so close to the ethno-shaler boundary, and you need to get ready for your case, and I'll help you pick out the ethno-borough photographs. He came over uninvited. Well, he got upset about it, too. And, of course, it's not my secret. It's their secret. And that they're upset that I do talk about it. And they're trying to harass me to the point that I'll succumb, and I'm not going to. And now they have a new device. First responders, SWAT teams, law enforcement have these through-the-wall surveillance devices. And they're supposed to be only used during exigent circumstances, like during an earthquake to find someone still slightly breathing underneath the rubble, or big avalanche, snow avalanche, or mud avalanche, to find the person, rescue them. they're increasing the power on them, they're reprogramming them, and they're hurting people. I'm not the only one who's experiencing these high-power microwave radio frequency pulses.
That's right. And I just want to make clear, Helena, you're not saying that it is the police and the people that you mentioned deploying this personally at you. You're just saying that these people maybe have a reason to be upset with you or a motive and have the capability to wield the technology.
I don't see who else is doing it. This device does need direct line of sight. So they do have the device set up at one of my three neighbors. Otherwise, the actual computer to monitor a person's movement is either in their cruiser or I suspect it's a laptop computer that they carry around with themselves to take it into their house, because this torture, this vibration, this pulsing is almost nonstop, and they change by moving their mouse across their graphic user interface computer screen to deliver pain at certain discrete parts of my body, or vibrate me, or just knock the legs out from underneath me.
I know listeners hearing this right now are justifiably upset that somebody would actually do this to another human being. How does the physical harm compared to the many publications that list the damage from microwave and radar biological effects?
The effects on people's bodies vary depending on what frequency and what power they use, whoever's operating the device. They can dial in on their computer screen whether to burn you or to cause bone-crunching pain, and they don't need to know anything about you. They don't need to know what frequency your nose operates at or what your DNA is. They just stimulate it, and I uncontrollably sneeze. They also pulse at my lungs and heart, which causes me to feel like as if I'm going to have a panic attack. They pick a vibrating mode where they stimulate my bladder, and I pee my pants. Uncontrollably, you can't hold your bladder. There's nothing wrong with my bladder.
This is interesting because I was at an event and a woman, this is about 15 years ago, and a woman came up to me in a very agitated state, and she was telling me how she was targeted by some device, and she was saying the same thing you're just saying to me right now. There were some people around me, they walked away from her. I was thinking to myself, this is a perfect way to hide these crimes. And unfortunately, so many of these abuses are going uninvestigated because the victim can be made to look unstable. I do understand that that is changing, very similar to what you're describing right now.
Yeah, they pulse various parts of your body, and depending on where the nerve endings are situated, that elicits a certain response from your body. If they're pulsing my brain, bashing it up against the inside of my skull bone, first of all, it's brain bruising me and giving me concussions, well, maybe subconcussions, but some of them do feel like full-blown concussions. But it also causes me to pass out without killing me. They don't want murder on their FCC experimental license and waiver rap sheet, because the FCC does give experimental licenses and waivers for these devices. I don't know what point they are at. I think that these are not experimental on me. These people know exactly what they're doing to me. They just dial the power up and dial it back, and they point at a certain part of my body through my walls and shoot. They vibrate. So they just press their cursor onto the selected desire power and cycles per second vibration, I feel the results. This is used by the medical industry for radio frequency ablation, that's killing or necrosis of tissue. It is used for RF or radio frequency anesthesia, that's killing a nerve ending so that maybe your spinal cord is pinching it. It's just very disturbing. This was known as microwave sickness at one time, a long time ago. whenever the research started on this, the burning, the stinging, the involuntary extremity movement, the restless leg that keeps you awake all night, I don't have those problems. The phantom touch in between your legs, it's just horrendous. They pulse your lower intestine and cause involuntary defecation. The device can also point, let's say, at your intestines and make you feel nauseous or just projectile vomit, and you have no control over it. It can pulse me in my left groin and lock up my left hip joint, which is extremely painful. Then you can't get up off the couch or off the bed. Even if you're laying down and your hip there, you're in bed laying down, it's painful. It's excruciating.
Helena, can you tell listeners about the case United States versus Denson and why that's significant?
There is only one case that I know of that this microwave radio frequency through wall surveillance sensor was used, and that is the United States versus Denson. That was in 2013, where Marshall Moss came to, along with his crew, came to Mr. Denson's house. He didn't show up for court and was on the lam, and they wanted to see how many people were in the house. So this device picks up breath rate, heart rate, and speech. The device that they used was a range R, and that has limited capabilities. It's not as capable as the STORMS device. They're the same technology, but it's limited to not more than 35 feet away from the building. That particular model of the range R had to be placed up against the wall of Mr. Denson's house. So they searched the house using radio frequency, and they found that there were two people in the house. They knew the weapons cache. They knew their location. They knew the layout of the building before they broke the door down.
And Neil Gorsuch was one of the judges.
Yeah, they took it, Mr. Denson's attorneys took it to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeal, and Neil Gorsuch was one of the three judges on the panel to hear the case, and he wrote the opinion that it was an okay search, that it didn't violate his constitutional rights. They did appeal it to our Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, without making any comment about it, declined to hear the case. So these surveillance devices using microwave radio frequencies through wall sensors have never gone and have never been tested by our Supreme Court. There's another case that it was compared to, a very good article in USA Today, a sneaking past Kelo. That's Kelo versus United States. Mr. Kelo was growing marijuana in a back room or a garage or something, and they used a heat-sensing, forward-looking infrared camera to sense how much heat was escaping from the house, and the police noticed that back room was exuding more heat than usual, and they broke down the door and went inside, and sure enough, there was a marijuana-growing operation in a back room. And that case was taken up to our Supreme Court, and Judge Scalia wrote that opinion saying that it was a warrantless search, and they threw out the evidence, and Mr. Kelo is out free, and they could not use that evidence.
That's kind of hopeful in a way, but we have, as you point out, this technology is being used by various law enforcement and agencies, and it can be dialed up and intensity increased, as you've explained, to become lethal.
Yeah, and I think that the FLIR, forward-looking infrared camera, you can rent those from Home Depot or building supply stores and not look into people's homes, just check, see where there are heat spots in the coming radiating from the house. They do not track people's heat inside the house. That the FLIR camera cannot do that. But that's illegal to use. But then this more invasive technology using radio frequency to search a house, Neil Gorsuch, now our Justice Gorsuch, said that was okay.
Chief Justice Roberts was in Australia on television talking about through-the-wall surveillance. Can you tell listeners more about that?
He was in Australia and in New Zealand along with Neil Gorsuch. Both of them were there. And they had interviews, and they answered to these questions of these invasive technologies. that they have not come up to the Supreme Court yet, but a lot of these radio frequency technologies will have to someday be investigated and tried, and for them to make a final decision, but it hasn't gone there yet. They have to have hearings on even radio frequency devices that are IMSI catchers. They are like Stingrays, which is a brand name from Harris Corporation, that pick up your cell phone signal from a radius of wherever this portable antenna is, and they capture everybody's conversation from their wireless devices. That has not gone to the Supreme Court yet either. Those are all radio frequency intercepting devices. That's a passive device, although they do have the IMSI catchers as an active device, whereas the TTWS through-the-wall surveillance sensors are active. Someone is pointing directly at you purposefully, actively, to lock onto you, because it is radar. Radar is defined as radio direction and ranging. Well, first defines you radio detection and ranging, and then radio direction and ranging. So it can lock onto you with these radio frequencies onto any specific body part and track you through your own house or your yard and pulse you at their will. Like I said, it's heinous. It's atrocious.
Helena, let's look at some of the biological effects suffered by diplomats, CIA officials at the U.S. and Canadian Cuban embassy in Havana, and the U.S. embassy in China. The BBC reported U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told the House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee that, quote, the medical indications of the China case are very similar and entirely consistent with the medical indications that have taken place to Americans working in Cuba. One of the articles you pointed out, Helena, had, quote, experts saying that the sound the diplomats heard were probably crickets based on a report from a diplomat who said they heard cicadas. Those are not cicadas, his neighbor insisted. Cicadas don't sound like that. It's too mechanical sounding. We have an audio clip of what the diplomats heard, and we can play some of that right now.
Okay.
That was a short audio clip of what the diplomats heard. Helena, some of the symptoms reported by the diplomats and CIA officials include concussion, brain trauma, headaches, nausea, hearing loss, and cognitive issues. Why are the microwave frequency attacks on U.S. agents and diplomats important to contextualize regarding your case?
I knew exactly what was happening to them whenever it hit the news. It does validate our claims that this is truly happening. And furthermore, I think six of those United States Embassy employees were undercover CIA agents, and now they've hired an attorney to represent them, which makes it legitimizes us. Too many people that I know are using the wrong words in our group, and they're not using the correct words, just like the newspaper articles have been trying to obfuscate what is happening in Cuba and in China, still calling it something like sonic. It's not sonic. It's not infrasonic. It's microwave radio frequency. It is a surveillance device. This device has been used in a more rudimentary form whenever back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s during the Cold War, when the United States Embassy in Moscow was being pulsed with microwaves. Those were microwave radio frequencies, and what the purpose of that was is to pick up what they were saying inside the embassy. The side effect was that most of those people came down with cancer.
Yes, the first three diplomats who reported suffering what they thought were, quote, sonic attacks in November and December of 2016 lived in upscale neighborhoods in Havana's western suburbs. Two other incidents later occurred the following April at the Hotel Capri near the center of the city. So these are at different times in different locations, suggesting that this is mobile equipment being used to attack people using a microwave frequency.
These are portable mobile devices. They're handheld. They can be man-packable, meaning that they're like a backpack and you hold the computer device in front of you and the pulsing device, or they're vehicle-mountable. But most of them now are very cheap and can be carted around in their handheld. Mm-hmm. And they pulse a very discrete part of a person and that person's particular body part. So the person sitting next to you or standing next to you will not feel it or hear most of the time the cicadas or whatever noises they want to project. That's known as hypersonic sound or the Frey effect or microwave hearing or audio spotlight. And these devices, like a hypersonic sound and audio spotlight, are used now in museums, that if you stand in front of a Rembrandt or whatever exhibit and you stand direct line of sight with the beamed microwave radio frequency delivering information to you, you can hear whatever Rembrandt is all about. And you walk out of that. That's a stationary device at a museum or at a store whenever they're trying to beam at you directly. No one's moving that around to target this person's ear or that person's ear or the other person's ear. I'm very suspicious of the cicada noise because that can be directed in to mislead the investigators, to put them on the wrong track, to lead them down a primrose path. That has nothing to do with it. They're just pulsing in a certain noise frequency that everybody can hear it. They can control that at their device. And then whenever they went to the hotel rooms or the residences or the embassy buildings and the offices, and they said, well, we can't find anything, we can't measure anything. Well, that's because this is an active device. Once they see people coming in with all kind of equipment and spectrum analyzers, well, they stop. They just turn the equipment off. You're not going to find it inside the building. This is externally caused. But you don't have to go inside a building to place a bug. That's old-fashioned. You don't need a bug. You can hear people through walls using these devices. And it picks up your breath rate and heart rate, your heart rate at your wrist, your pulsing heartbeat.
Thank you for saying that, because you told me about something called SCIF, which is an acronym. Some listeners probably know what that is, but I didn't. Could you tell us what that is?
Yes, Jeff. The SCIF is Sensitive Compartmented Information Facilities, and the acronym is spelled SCIF. President Obama, usually very important people use that. Even CEOs at large companies use it so that their secrets aren't stolen. It's sort of like a Faraday cage that absorbs the vibration of their voices, because this radar device, this TTWS, through-the-wall surveillance sensor device, is a radar that measures motion, except it's not motion that we're used to measuring with a radar, like going 80 miles an hour down a highway, but it measures the slightest of motion, and slight meaning the micro movements is the way it's described in papers. Your breath rate, your throbbing of your heart at your wrist, and your speech. So they use SCIFs to keep their internal information protected and private. The Guantanamo Bay attorneys noticed that conversations with clients were being compromised, and they suspected that there was a ceiling smoke detector that had a bug in it. Now, I did not hear that anybody got a ladder out and took that smoke detector down to inspect it, but they just assumed that's how their conversations were being overheard, and I don't believe that is true. It's very easy to use these microwave radio frequency devices to listen in on conversations. That was their foremost purpose back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and now since 9/11, these devices have been really sharpened to the greatest accuracy. It's jaw-droppingly awesome technology.
They see you in your apartment, your home, walking around. They can then target you with a directed microwave frequency. This technology could also project a sound and focus it on even one ear, as you've mentioned. Pressure waves can be used. And again, listeners, these attacks are also being deployed on our guest here, Helena Chorba. And she's not only researching this material and sharing as much as she can, but she is sustaining a lot of pain and suffering at the same time. Helena, you write, these radio wave and intentional radiators have been co-opted and repurposed and are being used as extrajudicial, surreptitious retaliation to settle grudges. And I thought that was really important, because that certainly is a pattern we're seeing in other individuals that are claiming similar cases.
Yeah, these devices have been misused and co-opted, repurposed to hurt people because they can. They're very easily reprogrammed. The FCC has no longer oversight over these devices once they've been approved for manufacturing, so they're sold to various law enforcement, first responders, SWAT teams, and then, like two of the police officers here in Attenborough, have been in the military, so they're military trained. They know these devices. They know how to inspect the interior of a house, of an abode, of buildings from 1,000 feet away to realize how many people are inside, how many weapons, what kind of weapons cache, what kind of weapons are inside. They know how to use these devices, and they brought it home, and now they're working here at Attenborough. And I find it strange, well, humorous in some ways, but Attenborough is training other police officers, and their newsletter was saying that they sent them off to different boroughs around Pittsburgh, and I'm just wondering how they were trained by this little borough. We're just a small little borough, 4,000 people, less than 4,000 people as a population, and majority of them are children. So it's a tiny borough, but they have these devices.
Well, you mentioned children. Children with developing brains are certainly more susceptible for these types of attacks, wireless technology, being near any of that frequency in the microwave spectrum. You had written, like the embassy personnel in Cuba and in China, you have experienced some side effects, some disorders such as Alzheimer's, sleep disorders, insomnia, sleep apnea, and you attribute that to the pulsed vibrated through the wall surveillance radio waves and radio locators and intentional radiator devices that you explain are designed to be used only during exigent circumstances.
Well, I'm not experiencing Alzheimer's, and I'm not experiencing Parkinson's yet. I am afraid that that is how my central nervous system is being destroyed, and my brain concussions are going to lead to that, because football players, other ball players who have repeated hits to their head are coming down with those diseases. And it's early Alzheimer's, like at 40 years old, or cancer, like a lot of the attorneys who are representing the Guantanamo detainees have succumbed to at a very, very young age. They're dying. At 35, I think, one of the attorney died at 40, 42, I believe. And they're suspecting that it's some sort of waste dump site that's near their sleeping quarters when they do fly down to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. I don't think it's that. I really think it's this pulsed microwave radio frequency just to listen in on their conversation so they have a one-upmanship on their plan, on their defense. You mentioned the children being affected by this. Some of the embassy and consulate employees' children were affected. And that is very specifically directed at a child. This is not a broadcasted radio frequency. It's not like your AM/FM radio frequency so that you can pick it up on this device or that device or the other device and multiple people can hear it in a room or outside in a yard. This is very specifically targeted at one person. They knew that heartbeat of that child and that it was a child's heartbeat and breath rate. And the recognition that also appears on these graphic user interface computer screens is their gesture recognition, gait recognition, speech, eye gazing. That is your signature. It's called the Doppler signature, micro-Doppler signature. That's how they identify people behind walls. It's not DNA that they look at. It's not microchips or nanoparticles. That's not necessary to see people through homes and to target them at specific parts of their body. But one of the other things that we had talked about is that Lloyd's of London is no longer insuring telecom industries for EMF harm, electromagnetic frequency harm. That would be for breaking buildings apart, because this vibration does destroy building structures, and also the biological effects that it's having on human beings. And if they sue from these wireless radio frequency devices, Lloyd's of London said, we're not handling, insurance companies are not covering the telecom industry for that. And the telecom industries have sent out a notice to their shareholders saying this is a notice of liability. We might be facing a lot of lawsuits in the future, and that was their duty to notify any shareholder of that.
Thank you for sending me that. I scanned it, and what I did see in some of the reports and health reports were that adults using cell phones longer than 10 years were susceptible to brain cancer. This is really not explained in any of the marketing of these devices, unfortunately, and it is very telling what the Lloyd's of London Insurance Company is saying here, that this technology is lethal, it causes cancer, and that they are protecting themselves.
One clue that I had as who is doing this and what this device is that is hurting me is the reports from the local Edna Borough police officers. They would not give those reports to me from my two phone calls to them asking for help in getting a spectrum analyzer. That was in February 2012. But I had a friend who's a retired attorney did write a request to them and saying that you didn't respond to a Freedom of Information request for those records, and he was able to obtain them. And in the reports, Sergeant Edward Winchell did say that I reported that someone's aiming a high frequency. He said, Ray, it's low frequency, high power microwave is what it is. And the second report very specifically says that, well, we're not going to investigate because she doesn't know who's doing this. These things are very, and he used the word heinous in his report, these high-power radio frequencies, and it's hard to measure. If these are ultra-wideband, which I suspect it is, and micro-powered impulse radar, which I suspect it is, those are short bursts of microwave radio frequency. They're very hard to intercept. They're very hard to detect. And I would really need help in trying to figure out how to measure them, because that is what is hurting me. It's torture. It's torture. Actually, it's a premeditated attempt at murder.
The dangers of microwave weapons are very important to learn about. The CIA have admitted long ago to possessing microwave weapons, and the research into exploitation of the microwave portion of the frequency spectrum dates back to World War II and the early developments in centimetric radar. Helena, can you talk about what you consider misperceptions or distractions from the equipment being used to direct microwaves at people, such as satellites, and laser and scalar?
There is no such thing as scalar hurting us. That is just something that does not go through our walls. Some people call this electronic harassment. Electricity isn't harassing us. Someone made up that phrase, I don't know who, but people, when they use that phrase, get locked up as mental. They go to the emergency room because this is excruciatingly painful, and they complain, and they instead of just talking about the pain and where it hurts, they mention words like electronic rape. They mention words like electronic harassment. This is cyberstalking. You're on someone's computer, and you're on a matrix. And when you break a radio frequency geofencing beam, they know that you're on the move. If you're sleeping and you get up in the middle of the night and you amble out of your bedroom, there is an alarm at the computer saying she's on the move. They don't sit there staring at their computer for 2 to 3 hours with no motion and no activity going. There is an alarm on their computer. It's a geofencing alarm. It is a crying shame that people go to emergency rooms or pick up the phone and talk to law enforcement or to attorneys, and they're discredited because of their choice of words. Electricity is conducted to the body with a couple ways. One might be a cattle prod, which you have to make contact with the skin in order for that electricity to discharge. A taser, once again, the barbs have to hit your skin in order to discharge the electricity. There are loose electricity situations, which is like lightning, but that hurries up and finds its path to least resistance that it likes. It grounds itself immediately, or static electricity, which gets discharged very quickly also. Electricity doesn't stay around just kind of hovering. It is not electricity that's harming us. And the stalking, you're cyber-stalked. This is cyber-stalking. You're on someone's computer, and they're tracking you, monitoring you with this high-power microwave radar, which has the capability of locking onto you and tracking you.
In a ProPublica article, they referred to the enemy wielding frequency weapons as sophisticated, but you've pointed out that this type of equipment is accessible, pretty mundane. Engineers use it on highway to examine structural integrity. Can you explain more?
Engineers and tradesmen have these devices, microwave radio frequency radar devices, at their disposal to use for non-destructive testing, whether in a factory setting, to examine the cooling process of certain product that they're manufacturing to make sure that it's processed correctly, the structural integrity inside the device that they're manufacturing, or plumbers use it now to look behind walls to see where the leak is instead of cutting, you know, a hole here in the plaster, a hole there in the plaster, and finally, after the fifth or sixth hole, they finally discover where the pipe is leaking. It is also used to inspect non-destructive testing, a bridge deck, to see if it still has the integrity to carry a live load.
Helena, if listeners have any other solutions to help in these situations that we're discussing right now, please contact Helena at rfhurtslife@gmail.com. It's spelled rfhurtslife@gmail.com. You've sent out FOIA requests. You've sent letters to attorneys. Can you talk about some of that legal recourse for listeners?
Well, I've contacted couple of attorneys, and I contacted Senator Bob Casey several times. This last time was as recently as a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to see if he can arrange for a hearing, a congressional hearing. After all, the Cuban embassy employees had a hearing. Marco Rubio had a Senate hearing for what is happening to them and to discover maybe how the treatment should go, what the long-term effects are going to be. I think we, as normal United States citizens, should have the same opportunity to present our case and to talk about what is happening to us. The attorneys that I've talked to, Attorney Gerald Dibble, I believe he's in Syracuse, New York, talked to us as the whole group of people who are feeling these awful, heinous attacks. And he was going to take a pro bono case, but he was looking at it that who had the best documentation, a case that he could win. And I don't think he decided on that. I also talked to one of the Guantanamo Bay attorneys. There are quite a few law firms who are representing the Guantanamo Bay detainees. And the one I talked to was attorney James Harrington in Buffalo, New York. I sent him a book, The Zapping of America, Microwaves and Their Deadly Risk and the Cover-Up by Paul Broder. And then I did talk to him for a good bit of time. The email that I sent to him, initially I was contacted by a Pentagon investigative team for the Guantanamo Bay detainees. His name was Todd Fisher. We talked a long time. I asked him if I can record the conversation. He laughed and he said, sure, he doesn't mind, so I do have that recorded conversation. And he promised that after they had gone down to Guantanamo just before Thanksgiving this past year, he was going to come to Pittsburgh. So about mid-December, he was going to come to Pittsburgh. He asked me if I minded if he brought someone else with him. I said, no, bring a whole battalion if you want. But he never came. I did call him and ask what happened. Apparently, he talked to someone else who has been affected with these heinous vibrations and burns and assaults on her body, and he promised to go and visit there also in a different state, not here in Pennsylvania. He didn't go there either. And so I did call James Harrington back, and I complained that I just feel like I was led on, and he said that he was going to see Todd Fisher sometime soon and that one of them was going to call me back. Neither one of them have called me back yet.
That's unfortunate. I hope they do, and I hope any attorneys listening may reach out to you. And I'm going to give that email out. Helena Cherba's email is rfhurtslife@gmail.com, rfhurtslife@gmail.com. Helena, can you talk about some of the reference books and publications, documentaries that you might recommend for listeners to learn more about this technology and some of the victims?
The publications reading material that I've run across is extensive. It's huge. The book I mentioned, The Zapping of America, Microwaves and Their Deadly Risk and the Cover-Up, was written in 1977 by Paul Broder. Mr. Broder is still alive. He's at Cape Cod. He did refer my call to Louis Slesson at Microwave News. Mr. Slesson was not able to help me, but I am in contact with him periodically. The other book that you recommended, as a matter of fact, Microwave Debate by Nicholas Stenek, published in 1984. The third publication is a very expensive book, but for some reason I was able to find it online. It's a 2009 publication, so about 20, 30 years later than what the other publications were. And it's a 225-page book called Non-Lethal Weapons by Neil Davison, Davison. And you can download it. You don't have to buy the book. There are Mantec reports prepared for the DOJ and NIJ, the Department of Justice and National Institute of Justice. Mantec International prepared these reports on through-the-wall surveillance sensors, and there are five reports that I am aware of. The last one was in 2014. I don't know if they've done any since then, but it's through-wall sensors for law enforcement is one of them. It's market survey. That was prepared in 2012. I find that to be the most important because it has models that have not been approved yet by the FCC, and tells you the future of these devices and where they're going to go and their capabilities. There's another one, through-wall sensors for law enforcement, test and evaluation. So they were testing how these work, how well they can go through all kinds of building material, walls, brick, mortar, rebar, reinforced concrete, steel, metal, and it evaluates the different manufacturer's product for these microwave radio frequency devices. The sense through obstruction remote monitoring system, there is a manufacturer's brochure. The through-the-wall surveillance for law enforcement, again, covers the case scenarios to be used by law enforcement and first responders and SWAT teams. So there's quite a bit of information there. The Ford Live Presidential Library in Chicago, Illinois, has a huge catalog of microwave radio frequency experiments and studies that goes back to sometime in the 1800s and just cataloged beautifully, just I think 8,000 documents for evaluation how these microwave radio frequency devices affect human beings and life in general.
That's a lot of information. And you did mention the work of Dr. James Lin, and some of his interviews can be found on the internet, on YouTube, if listeners are interested in that.
James Lin, Dr. James Lin material can be found, and his responses to what is happening at the embassies and the consulate is found on Intel Today website, and he writes periodically. You can find his work there explaining exactly what the phenomenon is, that it is not sonic, it is not infrasonic, it is high-power microwave radio frequency.
Helena, how can listeners contact you again and support your work?
The email address to contact me is rfhertzlife@gmail.com, and Hertz is spelled H-U-R-T-S, so rfhertzlife@gmail.com. One thing that I want to mention is that this damage that is being done not just to our bodies, but the resonating, vibrating, pulsed microwave radio frequency through our walls destroy our wall structure. I have a huge crack on the eastern side of my house. On my plaster, there is a stained glass window on that side of the house. I have one on the western side of the house, too, but it's only the eastern side of the house stained glass window that the lead trim has melted and sagged with microwave radio frequency, causing the stained glass to pop out. Direct line of sight from Charlotte Calderon's house, where the current chief of police, Timothy Rodman, I've seen scurry back and forth between the two backyards, Officer Paul Lord's house and Charlotte Calderon's house through their backyard. I was just wondering, what's he doing there? And am I under surveillance? And what'd I do? But that is the side of the house that's being damaged. I have about seven cherry trees in a row, about 18 years old. The middle one, direct line of sight with my side door to my house, is dead, and including the lateral branches of the other two cherry trees beside it. And I do have a green thumb. I'm a green thumb gardener. Bushes, vegetable gardens, flower plants have all been microwaved and sabotaged and destroyed in my garden, making my garden and yards look a mess. And my porch has been vandalized and trashed. And this is all that I hear all too often from people that I've made contact with who this is happening to. It's to make someone look incompetent and to discredit a person. It's a whole program. It's a whole program of them winning. And it's quite calculating. They also feel very smug that they're going to win because, first of all, they're not going to investigate unless I can prove it, and it's very difficult to prove because I don't know that technology. I'm a civil engineer, not electrical or radio frequency engineer, and they've counted on that. Furthermore, if they destroy my property and externally it looks like, boy, she's really deteriorated, then they can say, well, you know, you can't believe her. We need a Senate hearing for this and for people who don't use crazy words and phrases. I want people at that mahogany desk facing senators and representatives who can have a hearing who don't use crazy terms.
Well, Helena Chorba, thank you so much for being on In Other News, and I sincerely hope that you get the support and protection and ultimately relief from the attacks that is very much needed.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.
So you're free. So happy birthday.